1, 2, 3. Stay. That's what I meant to say, or do something. But what I never say is stay this time. I really meant to so badly this time. Cause you can never really tell when somebody wants something you want to.
Robert Reines. The rain pours down upon my roof, rat-a-tat-tat, like chalky bony fingers on a taut drum or a skull. But it's giant. It's my roof, and I inside run from room to room collecting buckets and calling buckets, buckets, to my dog, who has run in fear from the storm, from the rain. But woe, rain is neither friend nor foe. Rain pours down upon the rich and poor alike. Poor and poor alike. And it's spelled differently each time. And I can't convey that when I'm reading it to you. Oh, hello, friends. I'm so sorry that I have taken this opportunity of being trapped inside in the rain with you to subject my poetry upon you. I'm so sorry. I feel like, well, you can't go anywhere. Say, like a captive audience. Who came up with that? Well, the Marquis de Sade said, I got this idea of chaining someone down in a dungeon and then reading them my erotic fiction. Oh, my word, because why would they want to be there? And then I went to my first open mic, and I thought, who are these people who willingly chain themselves to cafe chairs and say, read me your poetry? I say, well, you know, it's not raining outside. You can leave any time. No, do it. Go ahead. All right. I always have a warning. I want to hold a sign up before any open mic or poetry reading. Now, I'm just telling you. All fiction should be like that, too. It's like, look, I'm telling you, don't read this or hear me, or I'm going to hurt you in some way, make you at very least impatient. But that, giving someone what I call Jimmy Legs of the Soul, Restless Leg Syndrome of the Soul, say, everything is fine, but I just feel like getting up and running as fast as I can. And what is that? If a friend ever make you feel that way, I hope I never make you feel that way. Friend, life can make you feel that way, but I can't run away from life, Hardy White. No, you can't. No, we can't ever run. We want to run away so much. Oh, run into my arms. Well, not figuratively. Say, well, your arms are not exactly ideal. Because they're smelly old man arms. I realize this. I mean figuratively. Hold yourself like that. Oh, my goodness. Let's do this as an exercise. We're inside on a rainy day. I've lost you already because I'm holding myself. You already see me and you've walked away. See, I'm not going to do this cornball stuff. What are you? Is this some kind of religion or cult or something? Oh, my friend. It's much more than that. It is a religion, isn't it? Just hear me out. No, I'm not here to say anything. Want to have a good time with you. We are all human beings trapped in here. I imagine maybe we're in a cave or a beach house. And going, oh, can't believe it. Beach weekend. That's happened to me. You rent a beach house. And you say, oh, this is only... And one of someone's terminal or something say, well, this is my last weekend. So it isn't like you could do it again. And then it starts raining. And you say, well, it's ruined it. And the person who's dying says, no, nothing can ruin it. And we say, why? And they say, because nothing can ruin this. You don't understand. I have to work something out to make this feel like it's not being ruined. Okay, so what is it? Well, rain is nice, actually. It's soothing and kind of beautiful. And it does make things grow. And if this was a drought right now, we'd be doing a dance in joy for the rain. And here we are, it forces us to be together. Just like it does, so say, oh, sometimes it's a blessing to be trapped in a mine or something with your coat. No, never. It isn't really. But if you do it voluntarily, like it's a book group. Oh, I like this to be our book club. But what's the book? There is no book. It's a book of pure light or nothing or no light. It's nothing. It's the nothing book. And we just get together. And then what do we talk about? There's no rules, man. We just get together. We do what we do if we were there to talk about a book anyway, which is just get off on a tangent. Oh, life loves a tangent. Rivers love a tangent. And water loves a tangent. It hits that ground, and it says, I'm going to make some rivulets. What are they? Little branchy things, little dendrites. They're dendritic. Is that a word? I want to sound smarter than I am. So I learn a word, and then I try to make it into an adjective form, adjectival form. So I sound smarter than... Why is that? Why do you want to impress people? Well, I don't know. Sometimes it's hard to be your humble self and to acknowledge your limitations. Who wants to do that? Maybe I won't be... People won't love me. Love seems to be so contingent, doesn't it? People fall out of love. The children see that. Some people love each other and then they don't. So that must be true of everybody. Go, no, some love is enduring. Like what? Point out some enduring love. I don't know, like some in the wild, like some monkey mama or something. I don't know. A little chimp clinging to a mama made of terry cloth and wire. So only the imaginary love is enduring. Oh, that sounds crazy. So you're saying so fictitious love is more enduring and better, Hardy, than the love of people, which is fickle? I don't know. I'm not here to say anything. I'm just here to sell you a thing that makes spaghetti out of zucchini. That's a thing now. Somebody has started this. It's a trend. Everything is a trend. But making fire was a trend. And making... You see what I'm saying? Cooking was a trend at one point. And these, Richard Dawkins, call memes. Now we have a name. Now a meme is a picture of Richard Dawkins. It says something like... I don't know. Something about young boys. Or, I don't know what it would say. I'm out of the mainstream because I'm on a tangent. I'm on... a rivulet. I am being like water. Bruce Lee once told me, he said, be like water. He told that to a lot of people. I was there, listen, I wasn't there. It was on YouTube recently. And he said to me from the grave, which is even more remarkable. He said, I can stick my hand out from the grave into your heart, grab your heart and affect it. Right? And then show it to you, even though I'm dead. I said, man, Bruce Lee showing me my own heart. He said, be like water. And I said, you are showing me my own heart. You know, I can be like that. I can endure. I can get around. I can go around stuff. I can go on tangents. I can go on rivulets. I don't have to try to plow through a mountain. No, no, no. I will embrace the mountain with my fingers of tangentialism. Where are we going? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I at one point offer you something to drink and then not go get it? I feel like I did. And I started talking about something different. And I also feel like you haven't said a word since you came in. And that concerns me in a way. And I think, well, you know, when they tell you how to check for signs of life, one of them is a person, has they said a word? No, but they could be some people are very shy and quiet. There's some children. I've met children say, don't talk to you for years. They go, what is going on? Are you going to say anything? And they say lots, but not to you. They just have chosen you to not speak to. That's fine. I don't mind being that adult. Maybe because they think I'm Santa Claus. And they're thinking, well, you know, it's best not to just say anything than to get on the list. I look judgmental. A long white beard says, I stand here in judgment of you. Or I've lost self-respect and I don't shave anymore. It could say a lot of things. Beards don't talk. You have to look at them like watches. Oh, my goodness. What can we tell by just looking at a person? Depends on our culture. I come from another planet, and all the signs are different. Sometimes people will drop their eyes right out of their sockets onto the floor, and the eyes will bounce around. And you say, oh, I could pick up on that. And I go, nope, it's a specific pattern. You got to know the pattern, how the eyes are bouncing, to know really what the person is thinking. And that's subtle and takes years. Oh, can you read people like books? You can if they're completely covered with tattoo that has text. And then you go, hang on, stop a minute. I'm not done reading your shoulder. Don't get off the subway yet. Just a minute. Verse. I've done that accidentally going through red lights because there's so much written on the back of the windshield of the SUV. And I say, I got to read it before it gets... Boy, it's really raining.
I like rainy days.
What does the rain make you think of?
Well, the rain makes me think of fecundity. And that water is the source of all life. And also flooding and drowning. And the irony that the very substance that sustains and creates life can destroy it so easily. What about you?
I think of static. The beautiful white noise between radio stations. The background noise of the universe.
I guess it's not so good for business.
Quite the opposite. You heard the expression, save for a rainy day? Well, this might be the rainy day those folks are saving for. And what they want is tchotchkes.
I once went out in a hurricane to buy a coconut carved into a monkey head.
See? There's some poor idiot coming through the door right now.
Oh, hi, Hardy. I didn't know it was you.
Hey, fellas. How's business?
Lousy. I think we should replace it with some kind of collectivist system.
He means how are sales?
Oh, good. I sold a fish clip and a I forgot I'm old mug.
I sold a Nancy nightlight and a case of wine.
You sell wine?
I sell whatever it is you want to buy, my friend.
Wow, this rain is something.
Time to build an ark.
So that the Torah stays dry?
No, I mean like Noah.
Noah from preschool?
Noah's ark.
Noah died and his family dedicated an ark?
Why are we not communicating?
We have a set of Love Is glasses with that on it.
How long can this rain continue?
Past performance is no indication of future success. So I say it might go on forever.
Is that possible?
I own a whimsy shop and you're asking me if the fanciful is impossible. Right? Impossible? Is that what you're asking? What are you asking?
What are these?
Fish clips.
I can see that they're clips shaped like fish, but what are they for?
They're for whatever you can imagine they're for. Isn't that fantastic? When they showed me, I was like, this is really something that is interactive.
Almost everything in here can be used for whatever.
For instance, this take-home version of Tattletales.
That could be a coaster.
Or a table.
Or chaps.
Now that's a stretch.
This old coffee mug from the Kettle Restaurant in Tallahassee.
That could be something to hit someone with.
Or to scoop with.
Or measure out.
Pull up a chair. Nobody's coming in.
I came in. And who am I?
Don't make me say it.
Nemo, you are no one.
I feel like Captain Nemo from 20,000 Leagues Beneath the Sea, Under the Sea, with all this water.
Or Little Nemo.
Or Little Captain Nemo in a tiny submarine made from a bed.
You guys sure do have great imaginations.
We read a lot of young adult fiction.
I'm a member of a creativity club.
Creativity club? What's the name?
Creativity club. I know, we see the irony too.
What do you guys do?
If by guys you mean a diverse group of folks who share a common interest in creativity.
Sorry.
We go to the one guy's house and play cards.
How is that creative?
I don't know, man.
Hey, stop making fun of the guy because he's an artist.
I'm hardly making fun.
Well, watch it. I'm sensitive.
Hello.
Hello, Chief.
Oh, I hate it when you call people that.
What?
Chief.
Okay.
That's demeaning. People don't like it.
He likes it.
I'm sure he doesn't. In fact, let's ask. Introduce me to him.
All right. Hardy, this is our town's fire blank, blank Williams.
Oh, Chief Williams, I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you.
We never recognize anyone that comes through that door.
Let's get that looked at.
Nice to meet you, Hardy. I just came in for a curio or something. A little knick-knack.
Well, this is your place. Something creepy, maybe? Like a small alligator skull?
Oh, heavens no. Something more like a penguin that you can put actual pens in.
That sounds like something we have.
Give me 10 minutes and I'll slap one together out of Sculpey.
No, that's all right.
Would you like to be on an email list to get notifications of the fact we're still looking for this penguin thing?
I've already stopped thinking about it.
No, that's fine. I'm sure I'll find something. I'll just browse around.
Well, browse away.
You want me to leave?
No, I mean, browse on.
You guys should have hot drinks available.
We did, but our lawyer said no.
Why?
People got super drunk.
Not alcoholic drinks.
Oh, like what?
Hot coffee or hot chocolate or tea.
Then people would just be sitting around sipping tea and not buying anything.
Here's your tea, Hardy.
Oh, thanks, man.
Which reminds me, do you need anything?
No, I just dropped in to see how business was going.
I appreciate it. Makes it look like there's people here.
People attract people. They see other people and...
It's like black vultures see crows picking at something and think, I will also patronize this business carcass.
When I was a young man and I'd walk into a restaurant and it was real crowded or something, and like a coffee shop, and the only option was to sit with somebody who was already sitting at a table, but it wasn't full, rather than do that, I would just dump all my donut in the garbage and leave crying. Then you get older, and you're more likely to go and say, is this seat taken? It's the only seat left. And sit down there. And then you get even more old, and you say, do you know how old I am? Like that. And then you engage in conversation. And you don't care. And you say, I'm getting a vibe that this person doesn't care, but that's all right. Bless him. Oh, I listen to anyone's stories. I can't not, even if they're not speaking to me. I know that's called eavesdropping. But I think, well, I hear a story. It's like hearing music. I hear the cadence or something. And then they're both sad. And then I bought a paper. And I recognize that. It's a story. I'm like, straining my ear. Yesterday I was in a donut shop or something and there was a table of men having a religious men's meeting. Oh my goodness, I could not stop listening. To me it was poetry. It's not like I agreed with everything they were saying or even understood everything they were saying. They were telling stories about their personal life or something and how this meeting was helping them do something or other. Oh, but the stories were beautiful and banal about going to the mall or something to give their wife a little bit of space. I loved it. It was like music. It was a story. Oh, I didn't mind being trapped there. It didn't feel like their pollution. Like I didn't have any, my thoughts weren't special. I'll put them aside for a minute and I'll get inside your thoughts. Can I come in your head? That would be nice. I'd love to walk right in there. And you might want to put something plastic on. I know, I'll wear those courtesy things over my shoes like the HVAC man when it comes to your house. A lot of repairmen will come to your house and they will put booties on like you're a biohazard. But it's nice because they're not tracking stuff in. They don't know what your mental illness is. You could be one of those folks that if I get anything on my rug, I will lose my mind and murder the person who did it. It could be. They go in a lot of houses and a lot of people like that with their space. And then conversely, maybe they don't want to get any of your hoarding on their nice shoes. So either way, it's never a wrong thing to put paper booties over your feet, foot cozies. My grandmother knitted me some. She goes, here, these are put over your boots if you ever go into a house that's either nasty or nice. I go, what about in between houses? And she said, like yours? I go, yeah. I go, why is mine in between? She goes, well, the nastiness is mainly just on the walls. And I go, Grandma, that's my art. Oh, everybody's a critic, aren't they? Everybody is a critic. That's a beautiful thing. We like to evaluate and criticize. Life is an all-you-can-eat buffet, and it is only right to question whether things are clean or whether, those glass bowls were used for the owner's child's terraform project, where she said, I'm going to make the origin of life under a glass bowl. Do we have glass bowls? Yeah, I got one from the restaurant here. I usually use it for Caesar salad. But you can put lizards and sand and stuff under it. And then that had my salad in it. And then I got real sick. Oh, I always like to think of another person. And I would never use my salad bowls for anything like that, Your Honor.
I find this man innocent.
I hope so. I hope that figuratively that when you come to my buffet, that you're, and you go and you write your column about buffet, local buffets, that you're not all, well, this stuff just seemed like it'd been under a light bulb forever, warmed over nastiness. Fried food is only good when it's fresh. Why would you take fried food and put it under a light bulb for hours and hours and hours? I'm telling you, it doesn't sit there for that long. At the peak, when we're really on a lunch rush, I'm constantly making these egg rolls and putting them in there, and their turnover is faster than you know. Egg rolls. What's these samosas? What did I say? What are they? Donuts. What did I say? I don't even know what kind of restaurant to have half the time. Do you want to start one together? What if we won $1 million? You want to start a restaurant? I know a little how it's done. First, get a space. All right? Then, let's design it. And then let's get a consultant in to do that, design it. And then, I don't know. Do we want to wait till we hire the executive chef to put together the menu? Let's do it. Because if he has a special like, oh, I love to serve burned up pork chops or something, then that'll be, we could even call the place the burned up pork chop. So let's see who we can get as an executive chef. If it's just some old drunk, then let's come up with some kind of menu we like, and we'll work around that. And then you hire, what do you hire then? I've lost track. I guess then a wait staff. I would go around to good old diners, and I'd say, hey, you, Meemaw, who's been working here for 50 years. She goes, yes, Hardy. I go, Meemaw, do you want a job at this new fancy restaurant I have called Burnt Pork Chop? And she said, I'd be willing to give it a try. And then it turns out, man, she is a Cracker Jack upscale waitress. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. She is the gem of the wait staff at that place. I love expensive meals. One of the reasons I don't eat them a lot is money is required. But we all love, no matter how humble we are, we could tell, oh, that's a $100 steak right there. I guessed it because I had steak at the buffet. It's not like that. We all eat different things. We would all eat like kings and queens if we were kings and queens. Would we not? Some of us like the humble food of our town, of our growing up town. Uptown? No, I mean, you know what I mean. From our hometown, from our mother or grandmother's, grandfather's cooking, our uncle's cooking. I used to have a cousin used to come over and cook for us. And he was, oh, what if we called him a cousin? I don't know what he really was. He's used to wear some kind of big fur hat, like a Cossack or something. And he had swords. I have no idea who this man was, but he'd use the sabers to cut up big live pigs. What a disturbing childhood I had. No, this is my fantasy. I had an old Irish immigrant grandma like everybody did who'd boiled up ham and cabbage and make one of those smells that you can't tell whether it's good or bad. I hope I'm that to you. I hope you go, oh, you know, actually camphor brings back happy memories. And I go, thank you. Thank you. I like wool. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm going to be left with a bit of a camphory thing going on, and I pull it out of the closet first thing in the winter. But I don't want moths to eat my clothing. But bugs will eat things that are organic, like you. Well, they're not going to start yet, unless they're mosquitoes. I'm being eaten alive. How can you people live here in Florida? This would drive me crazy. Well, we stay inside when it's bad. Oh, and also, not the blowflies. But the, what do you call, deer flies, one of them, I like them both. I got both the records. Stinging insects, but not when it rains. When it rains, we can go out. No, the mosquitoes get worse. Just let me finish. Go outside in the rain and just let yourself be drenched in it. And then you catch a terrible cold. And then you only serve 30 days as president before you perish. Which Harrison are you? Do you ever play that? Oh, as kids, we would do that all the time. Are you, which President Harrison are you? We'd go back and forth between William Henry and Benjamin. Oh, those were the days. Not the 19th century, I mean my childhood. Both. They didn't overlap. I didn't have a time machine then. What year did I get the time machine? 2028 or something? I don't even remember yet. That's so funny how things work. Things are all mixed up. Oh, memories. What beautiful things they are. It's like a little, you make a little tableau out of, figurines or something in a shoebox. And then you put them away. And when you go back, oh, they've all been scrambled. The figurines are still in there, but you don't know what position they were in. You can kind of deduce it by who they are. But you'll never really know for sure unless you glue them down. And that glue, my friends, is my new protein drink that's available. No, I don't know how you keep your memories forever. I do not know. If I knew that, I would. I would be called the Memory King. And my infomercials would be endless, endless, endless. Memory King, Memory King, ooh.
What do you think the first rain was?
What?
I think about that all the time.
That doesn't even make any sense.
I mean, like, maybe it was made from methane or hydrogen peroxide.
Or pure consciousness.
You guys have quite an imagination.
If I didn't, I wouldn't have gone into retail.
I could almost take a nap in this rain.
It sounds like the blood coursing through your mother's uterus veins. It's the soundtrack of the womb. Shush, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
My mom's womb played Trini Lopez.
The type of music you play in a womb can prevent shoplifting.
What's it say about you when you have your own business and you still don't want to be at work?
Today is pretty gloomy.
We could tell stories and make food.
What kind of food stories?
Well, like that time we made burgoo from squirrel?
I'm craving stone soup.
Yeah, everything you want, other people pay.
Exactly.
Man asks the waiter, says, what's the soup du jour?
The waiter says, soup of the day, sir.
I heard that one.
Any other restaurant jokes?
I got one. Man walks into a restaurant. Says, the sous chef owes me $1,000.
Was it for drugs?
Yeah, it's the guy's coke dealer.
Jeez.
He had threatened Tony and everything. Yeah, it was weird. And for some reason, it never got back to chef.
Yes?
No, not you, chief. I said chef. Anyway, crazy.
There's always one guy at work who isn't at work. And today, that person is Don. Where is he?
I let him go home early because of the snow.
But it's raining.
No, I mean last winter. Has he been back?
He was here yesterday.
I'm here now. I've been here all day.
Honest to God, I did not see you.
Now I remember him being here all day. Sometimes I think you're a Wally Cox cutout. Why don't we have that?
That would be sweet. Let's have one made.
Every dorm room will have a life-sized Wally Cox cutout.
I don't think that'll be a big seller.
You don't know college kids like Butchie. He used to have a hookah den.
And a record store. And I sold rugs with famous people's faces on them.
Kids love that stuff. Iconic.
We sold more Russian religious icons on those Thursdays in the quad.
I taught at the university for many years.
Did you?
No.
Well, why'd you say that?
I want to have, just to impress people in bars, so that they'll give me money that I can then use to go to college and become a professor. That's my goal. Here, just swipe your card on my smartphone.
I'd love to help, but I can't.
Butchie tried to give a homeless person a mint, and they turned him down and he got snitty.
I didn't have any money. I'm sorry. If you're hungry, a mint has sugar. I was genuinely trying to help.
What if the store becomes an island because of the rain?
It's like that anyway. We're always stranded here.
I think this is all rather cozy. It gives us an excuse to all be together. I'd love to play a board game.
What game?
I like the one I made up called Houses I've Lived in Various Cities. The playing pieces are models of cars I've had in the past. You start here in Tucker, Georgia, in the Waterloo Circle House. It smelled like grape and crayons.
I have dice. We could play craps.
What's it gonna look like if we're shooting craps when a customer comes in?
Like it's the Sahara?
No, like it's a crap place.
Why are there three of us scheduled to work when there are no customers?
I think for moral support.
That's expensive support.
Two of us could agree to go off the clock.
Not me. I have bills to pay and miles to go before I sleep.
I need this paycheck to be full this week because it's gambling night week.
Excuse me. Was this a good show?
Oh, nice tea tray.
Car 54? Yeah, it was funny.
Do you think my wife would like this?
A Car 54 tea tray?
I would.
You're not my wife.
Anymore.
I think she'd like it. She's very kitschy. 50s everything. All vintage. And she's constantly questioning my loyalty to this country.
And Bakelite.
Oh, yeah, so a whole dinner set.
I dated a girl who was into a new decade every few months. And they spanned hundreds of years. 1 minute a flapper, then a mod, then a kitchen wench. It was very wonderful, actually. Her mom was a model for Rudy Gernreich.
That makes what you said sound so believable.
Thanks.
Oh, I'll tell you, the best lies are lies that sound like, why would that person lie about that? I'm not saying that every time something sounds like it's not a lie, it really is. I'm just saying sometimes it's best to mix in banality, and people will take the bait. See, that just looks like a sandwich sitting there, and they won't see the monofilament line that's connected to the fishing pole of a demon. Demon's gone fishing every day. You're the fish. Look at that lily pad. What's obscuring your vision of reality? Fish actually have very good eyes. So why can't they see that line? Why don't they get it? Because I tell you what, I think their expectations blind them. Say, I want that to be real food dangling in front of my face so badly that I'm going to go for it. When I know if I just open my fisheye, I wonder if I had a fisheye lens. You know the book as a kid? If I had a fisheye lens, I'd go back in time and make a rap video, and I'd be the first. And that's already gone, that trend. If I had a fisheye, I'd evolve into an actual eye. What's an actual eye? You just say that. Like, you mean a person eye? Yeah, well, all the other eyes are actual eyes, too. Speciesists. I don't say that. It really is a thing to be a speciesist. Like, oh, how can that be bad? Well, it is sort of. I mean, you know, these other creatures have feelings, and they have lives and all, too. It's sort of silly to ignore that.
So, well, we're better.
Ooh, I don't know. Look around, people. Ooh, I'll tell you, we are nasty, smelly monkeys. And look at the noble... Think of an animal. I'm looking around the room for him. What's the first animal I see depicted? When a crow. Look at the noble crow picking at the guts of a squirrel in the street. Isn't he beautiful? That's maybe a bad choice. I don't know. Well, we're all crazy on this animal bus. Isn't it nuts? I love it. I love being an animal. I wonder in another life whether I was like a candle or something like that, or a vertical blind, or whether I was a living creature. You say, well, that's impossible. How could they be sentient? When I was a child, I believed that other things in my room were alive. Now, as I got older, I realized only the things that have little faces on them are alive. Everything else is not. But then I got a little older and I went, oh, no, nothing is alive in my room. And then I got a little older than that and I went, well, something is alive in my room, I just can't see it. And that's when things got weird. But there was a point at which I thought everything was alive. And I don't know if I behaved differently. I certainly thought my idea of life or what it meant to be an individual, a person, or whatever, was different. My whole worldview was different if I thought my blanket was a sentient being. And I think I did believe that. And I later, like I said, it was just stuffed animals and things like that. Or a little tiny little piece of plastic with a face on it or something. But before that, I believe it was everything. I don't know if I thought the carpet was alive or anything. What does that make you? A pananthropus. No, that's... Pananthropus is an early hominoid. Maybe. Or an ancestor of us. Hardy, I feel like you're informing me, and I don't want that. Oh, I'll take it off for you? That's like having a tomato on your hamburger. I'll just go back to the kitchen and pull it off. I don't have to inform you. I'm not trying to. What happens is this. I'm thinking of things to say, and oh my goodness, I'm just trying to put too much into the stew. I feel like I've got the spice cabinet open. Let's go for it. Let's put everything in there. Let's put the allspice in there. Let's put the cumin in there. Let's put the cardamom in there. Let's put the fenugreek in there. Let's put the dried parsley in there. Let's put the rose. Stop it. Those are herbs and spices. Oh, and there's a... Could you imagine naming 11? How does that chicken baron do it? Chicken baron. I know he's a colonel. He's not really, though. Is he? Oh, all restaurant owners are part of some sort of military structure. Did you know that? All sorts of generals and everything. It's an army of restaurateurs. And they're all wearing uniforms. And there's a beautiful cutlet on each one of their shoulders, just like it was an epaulet. An epaulet is a cut of meat. And hanging down from it, is that garnish? Do we eat that part? Oh, yes, you can eat it. It's made of flowers. Oh, our food can be sculpture. Children know that when they play with their food. What are you doing? Oh, I'm sculpting it into something. What are you, into mushed up guts? Because I want to pretend I'm an animal. Oh, we like to do that. Children love to pretend they're animals. I pretended I was all sorts of life forms. See, what are you now? I'm some kind of slow-growing mold. Just technically an animal, I guess. Or I could be one of those, what are those worms that you cut in half? Flatworms. And they grow back again. That's me, man. I'm resilient. You cut me in half, and I grow back because I guess my tail end looks just like my front end. See, when it said, oh, you don't know your butt and your head are alike, or some whatever that insult is. Yes. Yes, indeed, sir. So that if I am cut in half, it doesn't matter what I grow back, a head or a rear end, because they are interchangeable, because I don't know whether I'm coming or going. And that might make me seem defective to you, but I think that perfectly suits me for this existence. Because tell me, sir, who are you? Who are you talking to? You're a flatworm. Listen to me. I'm talking to this biology student with a scalpel getting ready to cut me in half. I may be a worm, crawling in two directions at once, like a push-me-pull-you from Dr. Doolittle. An excellent children's album, by the way. I highly recommend it from when I was small. I may be a worm, but you know what? Go ahead, cut me in half. I'm done trying to convince you. Go ahead. I'll just be two people then. People worms.
Hey, I'm starting a band.
What kind of music?
Don't know.
What do you play?
Don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I mean, I play a few instruments. Not sure what I'm going to play in the band. Sometimes the instruments can influence the style, you know, like tabla.
I play a little guitar.
You play a tiny guitar or you know some guitar?
I know a few ukulele riffs that I copped from Roy Smack.
I play bass.
Do you really?
Well, not super duper well, but I'm not terrible.
Well, I booked us a gig.
Well, we're not a band.
This'll give us a goal. It's on a cruise ship. 14 days. We do 4 stage variety shows and 8 small combo gigs. It's easy. And the rest of the time, we just sit by the pool naked.
Well, not naked.
Well, you can try. And then they do this kind of like at-sea arrest thing.
Well, I'm not going on a cruise ship.
Count me in, and I do impressions.
Well, like what?
I do Dr. Rue.
You mean Dr. Ruth?
No, Dr. Rue, a cross between Dr. Who and Dr. Ruth.
Well, that's not a real person.
Well, wait. Hello, Hardy. Sex is not wrong.
Well, no, it's just a character. An impression is an imitation of a famous person's voice.
Why famous?
So people can see if you're doing it accurately or not.
Of course I'm not.
Try to do a celebrity.
Give me one. I know one I can do. Joe Penner.
You want to buy a duck?
Well, that's pretty good, but nobody knows Joe Penner.
What do you mean nobody knows Joe Penner? Listen here, you whippersnapper. He was very, very famous.
Everybody knows Joe Penner. You want to buy a duck?
And?
You nasty man!
No, I don't think he's famous anymore.
You didn't say when the person had to be famous.
Well, I don't think there's going to be a lot of people over, you know, 100 or something on the cruise. It has to be somebody who's from pop culture now.
Who's that?
I don't know, like the president or something.
President of what?
I do a good impression of Irene Rosenfeld, former CEO of Kraft.
No.
She's famous. She's one of the most powerful women in the world.
Well, I was thinking of a political figure, maybe.
Butch, you do your Abe Lincoln.
Ah, yes, it's very accurate.
47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
That's not how he sounded.
Yeah, it is.
No, he was a statesman.
Reports of his speech at Cooper Union said that's how he talked.
What'd you say? Cooper?
Yeah, Cooper.
It's Cooper.
No, it's Cooper.
Yeah, like Houston.
It's Houston.
No, it's Houston. With place names, sometimes there are regional differences in pronunciation.
You mean pronunciation?
You're from Florida, aren't you?
When I was a child, I'd be home with my grandmother on a rainy day, and she'd help me build a fort out of blankets.
Oh, I'd do that as a kid, too. But instead of blankets, we'd use limestone blocks, because we had so much of it. Those forts were great. Mine had a dungeon with a munitions room and everything.
You can't build a blanket fort in the store, can you?
Why not? It's our store. Maybe it'll help sell blankets.
That, and if we could get the chicken smell out of them.
What do you mean?
They smell like chicken bouillon. Smell.
Oh, that's weird.
I think they might be stuffed with chicken feathers and not down.
I can't tell if it's a pleasant chicken broth smell or bad B.O.
It's a smellophone.
What's that?
Two smells that smell alike but have different origins. On first smell, you think, ooh, maybe that's some kind of savory meat pie. Then you figure out it's coming from the bus lavatory.
I used to work at a cheese shop called Don't Look at Me. Funny how our senses can betray us.
Like mermaids.
Mermaids?
Sailors thought they saw women swimming around in the water, but they were probably manatees.
Who, the sailors?
No, the sailors weren't manatees. The sailors thought that the manatees were women.
Because?
I don't know, grog, loneliness.
I had a lovely conversation with a parking meter one time when I forgot my glasses. We see a face and we think something is alive. When I was little, I fell in love with a Santa Claus Christmas tree ornament. He had a sweet cherubic face, and I thought it was my job to take care of this tiny defenseless Santa baby.
Some animals think they're looking at another animal, like an angry lizard, but it's really the markings on a caterpillar's butt.
I was once engaged to a caterpillar's butt for 6 months. We sent out invitations and everything. I give my heart so freely. They have AI now that people can't tell if it's a person or not.
I think it's because people have become less rational, so absurdities seem normal. Helps the computer cover up.
Is it dangerous that we misplace our affections like that? What happens if people love a fictional character too much?
I don't even want to know where you're going.
What if a disembodied voice asks you to build a boat because of rising floodwaters?
Well, of course I wouldn't.
What if the voice came from a citywide civil defense system that broadcast warnings through loudspeakers positioned around town?
Well, then maybe I would.
When I hear a voice, and I don't know where it's coming from, my first thought is it's an ancient war god. Then the second thought I have is I'm having a psychotic break. And then the third is I'm being pranked by that good-looking stoner actor who married that elder gal. Who am I thinking of?
Alan Funt?
Yeah, maybe.
I find it so easy to fool myself that I actually play poker with myself. I really do. I can play games with myself because I don't trust my own eyes or ears. And I think that's bad, too. I think you have to strike some kind of laughing clairvoyant if you're going to be able to have balance in your life. And balance is important. I remember one time showing up for PE class, and they said, today we're going to put a board on a piece of PVC pipe, and you're going to roll back and forth like that, like you're surfing on some sort of toxic plastic. What? Is that called a pipe? I'm riding a pipe? And they go, well, not exactly. That's maybe a surfing. Is that a surfing term or a drug term? I don't even know. But I know I'm going to start a magazine like that. I'd better get an editor so he can sort it all out for me. It's always best to hire someone who's an expert at everything. Whatever you're going to do, don't do anything without just hiring someone else to do it. You say, well, why not become expert yourself at some things? You can't become expert at everything, so hire someone to make all decisions for you, but a different person for every decision, even the smallest one. I have my gum-chewing consultant. Now, no, and a lot, I don't know why they deny me all the time, because 9 out of 10, some medical professional would say, go ahead and chew gum. I don't care. I don't even know you. You're not paying me. I'm not your doctor, a lot of dentists will say. They go, well, yeah, but you're my dentist. All right, fair enough. You want me to write you a prescription for something? For anxiety, wink, wink?
No, I'm good. I'm all right. I'm just here to get my teeth cleaned. Open up wide, and I will see the detritus of your decisions. I will see what has moved across the landscape of your teeth like a glacier leaving moraine. That's what the glacier leaves in its path, what it sweeps along. Who signed up for this? Who signed up for this class? I am teaching an adult late night. It's called Substitute. What is that? That sounds interesting. Well, you come to a class. It's like an adult late night class. You come to it. And what do you teach? Well, it's like having a substitute. There's no particular subject. It is a person, a well-meaning person, that's sitting in for the person you normally would teach. I don't know whether it's driving or English is a second or third language. They just say fill an hour. Well, I could do that. Even give them a puzzle. I don't even have to talk to people. I could just hand out something. So there's a crossword and a Sudoku that'll keep you for a good 3 hours, and do that. And then I kick back and I read something. But sometimes I'll just read out loud. I'll sit down and say, how many of y'all like Balzac? And a hand will go up, actually to ask a question. But I'll interpret it as a vote. And you got to be careful that way, kids. And I'll start reading. And they'll say, I thought it that I didn't like. When you said Balzac, I didn't know what it was, first of all. But now that you're reading it, I hate it. But that's not even giving it a chance. You got to give it a chance first. What I do is I take it all the way to obsessive fandom before I think, no. So whatever artist I glom onto, and I listen to everything or I look at everything, and I get absolutely fall in love. I get very excited, and then I get bored and come to resent the artist. That's just natural, right? Isn't that beautiful? It's a beautiful way. I'm sorry, and I tell my art collection, but your artist and I don't love each other anymore. It's not that we don't care. We just don't love each other like that, like artist and fan anymore. And so we can't be together, and that's why I'm putting all these albums at the curb. Oh, don't do that. Hang on to him. Some people throw away their old love letters because they'll have threats in them or something. Go ahead. Some memories burn up. We don't need them all. I don't need all my memories. I need some because somebody's going to ask me some kind of crazy question at the old folks' home, and I'll go, oh, I got to remember what songs were popular. And, when I was young, pretend I kept track. Ugh. Wonder what they'll be singing at my nursing home trying to cheer me up. I didn't want to speculate. I hope it's something good, something I'll know the words to. I think there's no way we'd be having these philosophical discussions if it weren't for the rain.
I might. I'm pretty deep.
Not me. I don't like to talk about deep things.
Why is that, Butchie?
Did you not just hear me?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's get takeout.
Oh, that'd be great. Then we wouldn't have to go out in the rain to get food. Someone would. The delivery guy. Oh, that's true.
But if we don't order, the delivery person doesn't get paid. Also, a lot of folks will increase the tip when the weather's bad.
Let's just tip him.
What?
Let's not make him bring us any food. Let's just gather up money and he shows up and we give him 20 bucks.
Just for going out in the rain?
If that's the criteria, I'll just go out in the rain and come back and you can give me 20 bucks. No, I want an inedible pizza out of the deal.
Hello, boys. It's Baltimore. This is my kind of weather. I brought you lunch.
Oh, what do you have?
I have Utz's chips.
Ooh.
I have crab cakes.
Ooh.
And I have a couple six-packs of Natty Bowl.
Can we drink on the job?
We're selling novelty items, not piloting a children's hospital helicopter. Of course.
What's the easiest job to do drunk?
Govern,
clearly. CEO.
Same thing.
The king can be drunk.
And is.
In the old days, everyone who drank beer did better than people who drank water, which had bacteria and parasites in it.
So all of the productive people were drunk, and all the decent people were sick and dying.
How do you know this?
Mummies. They know from mummies.
Drink your damn beer, am I right?
I don't drink alcohol for health and moral reasons. Moral reasons?
I tend to do universally agreed upon immoral acts when under the influence of alcohol. I ruin lives. And it will kill me.
Oh, I feel like a bully now.
There you go. What other Baltimore delicacies do you have, Baltimore?
That's it for food. But for Pete's sake, I brought crab cakes.
Oh, I know.
And beer.
But no sides.
Sides?
Like a Judy's sandwich shop. All the plates come with corn chips and carrot and celery sticks.
Or slaw, the universal side.
A French fry is good.
They're Belgian, I heard.
I brought crab cakes, which are ridiculously expensive, by the way. You needn't have a side with them. The sides are in it. Eat your crab cakes.
Man, this is living.
And yet we're not making a living.
But we're trapped inside a store with food and friends on a rainy day. I think that's pretty good.
Man, I think we may be literally trapped. Look how high the water is.
That's troubling. It's a good thing the store is up a flight of stairs because that's going to get unimpassable.
What if we're the last people on Earth? We need to do theater.
What other animal than man stages a play before it dies?
We don't do that either.
If this is indeed the end of the world, then I agree to do theater.
What kind of play?
Well, we wouldn't have a lot of time to memorize a script.
So let's pick a play we all know.
Something Beckett. I'd say Endgame is something we all have committed to memory.
Whoa. I have no idea what that is.
Someone went to private school.
Must be nice not to have to memorize endless avant-garde plays and poetry.
I didn't go to private school.
Excuse me?
What are you doing?
You went to private school. And your parents' name is Clarence.
What are you doing, Lou?
I'm gonna battle rap you. I'm gonna call you out on all your lies.
Oh, come on, man.
Nope. You better get ready. Steel yourself. Have some comebacks ready. Cause here I go, man. I'm gonna call you out.
Oh, stop.
I don't even think your name is Hardy. And you smell like Havarti. And the mixture of wet rug and stale beer at the end of a party. And your jokes are stale, too. Like you went to Yale, but it was the Yale for old stale joke fools. Yeah, you got a radio show, but so does my cousin Mike in college. So acknowledge you're the radio equivalent of my aunt's son with drug problems and endless apologies. And oh yeah, what's with the beard? You look like one of those ewes in Shaun the Sheep who doesn't want her butt sheared. Or like Santa Claus, if Santa Claus's beard was stained and made him look unashamed of his personal hygiene in advanced years. Oh, and are you trying to look like a lumberjack? Or are you just an 80s rocker and much, much more whack? At first I thought you were stealing from Red Green. And then I thought, no, that's mean to Mr. Green. He was on the scene before this Eugene. Oh yeah, and you run a drug cartel and your finances smell. And you have an army called the Army from the Depths of Hell, which is a threat to mankind remaining well. So stop Hardy at all costs and destroy this monster.
Come on, man, that's not fair.
He got you pretty good. You got a comeback for that?
Of course not. He was just making all that up.
Were you, Lou?
Yes. But the overall general gist is true. You do have a beard.
Gee whiz, I'm glad I'm secure in our friendship.
Sorry, I get carried away with any kind of battle and go for absolute defeat of my enemy.
I'm not your enemy.
Of course not. I'm sure you have plenty already.
Enemies? I hope not.
We all have enemies.
Do we? What if nobody knows who you are?
You still do. Of course, they're not real.
You have a number of enemy positions open, and then you fill them with whoever you want, depending on circumstances.
Are you short of enemies, Hardy? I'm sure there are plenty of people who haven't even met you who hate you.
Oh, I'm sure that goes for everybody.
That's your baseline enemy quotient right there. Then you can build on that.
Did the rain just stop? Sometimes the rain does stop. It's like somebody pushed a button, Mother Nature. Pushed a button. The other day, a little neighbor child came over, and he's like 11 or something, and he's always bothering me about stuff, little trivial stuff, to me as an adult, because I got important things on my mind. I'm thinking about philosophical questions all, and he comes over and says, would you push a button that would kill all the psychopaths? I said, what? He said, would you push a button that would kill all the psychopaths? And I said, I don't know what you're talking about.
I said, I don't want to talk about this. He goes, well, what's it? And I said, well, you know, well, no, A, no, because that would make me a psychopath. And he said, there's a very small percentage of the world that are psychopaths, so the chance that you are one is very low. I said, yeah, but the act of doing it. Because the button can't make you turn you into a psychopath. You are or you aren't before you hit the button. I said, well, oh, you're big smarty pants, aren't you? I said, well, what if it's a murder button? And I pressed it and I kill all the murderers. The minute I pushed it, I'd be transformed into a murderer, killing all the murderers. And he goes, unless you were the state, governments can kill with impunity. Oh, then it's not murder. It's only murder if individuals do it.
Oh, I did not know that. Oh, how about that?
But individuals who do it in the name of the state, and it's okay.
Oh, all right. I didn't know this little child. Oh, pushing my buttons.
That's what they call pushing your buttons. Did you ever see somebody get on an elevator, push all the buttons? So you're going to all the floors now, and you go, good, I'm the custodian. I need to go to all the floors. Smarty, just done me a favor. My buttons like to be pushed. Who am I? An accordion, a button accordion. That's good. You read the same magazines I did as a kid. Makes you a clever thinker. Oh, my friends, I just tell you, this all I have one message for you, and that is, I believe in kindness. I believe in helping one another because I want to be helped. And I believe that we need to sit with each other as if on a rainy day sometimes, and that it's okay to sort of fall in love with one another in a deluded way. It's okay to love even though we might be falling in love with what's really a face on the back of a caterpillar's butt. Then let your heart open anyway. That this life is better to me when we see wonderfulness in one another. And that's why I'm trying to put that out to you. Hold your hand and be with you. And share some stories and some good times. Like the temporary layoffs. Good times. There's a responsive reading. We'll do that later. I'm just so full of joy that if I could be trapped inside of a store with anybody, that's you, my friends. And the rain has stopped, but I don't want to go back out. You know, it's almost like it's too quiet. I like a little noise. I like a little chaos in the background. And when it's gone, I don't know. I guess I'm left with my own thoughts. And sometimes my own thoughts, they need a rhythm section. You know what I'm saying? No, I don't. You do, though. No, it's poetic. It's not really. It's just confusing. All right. All righty. I thought it was poetic. No, it just sounds like you're coming out of anesthesia. Okay. And you're just saying not enough. I could take a little bit of criticism. The worst criticism is self-criticism. Oh, don't be too hard on yourself. Appear to be, but don't actually be. Oh, unless you're crazy. Unless you're a crazy person who loves yourself too much, you probably don't love yourself enough. So get off your own back and love yourself. But make it look like you're not being, like you're not pampering yourself. You don't want to do that. Don't treat other people like jerks. If you really love yourself, you'll be full of respect and honor for others. You'll see if you're doing it right. If you're rude to people at a restaurant or something, then you're not doing it right. It's just so simple as that. If you're good and kind to people, then you're either doing it right or pretending to do it right. Otherwise, clearly wrong. How about that? Is that good? I don't know. You sound like a Sunday school teacher, or a Saturday school teacher, or a Monday school teacher. I do. I just want to be able to say to my fellow man, oh, I'll be kind and thoughtful. Please help me to be, and I'll help you to be. And we'll live together as neighbors, and we'll be fun and entertaining in our annoyance with each other, and not tragic and fearful, which is no person wants that. No child. If a child doesn't want it, then it's probably no good, except for some foods. We'll clarify later on other shows. Oh, thank you for joining me. Thank you for listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WFMU.org, and 91.9 in blessed Rockland County. Another week. Thank you so much. Oh, friends, be well. I was
Oh, yes, it will.
It will heal.
for me to know.